Bienvenue à Les Affaires Brassicoles, votre balado sur l'entrepreneuriat brassicole du Québec, avec Leonardo Calcagno de Baron Mac.
My name is Lars Marius Garshol. I am from Norway. I am a beer writer and I guess something of a researcher. I study traditional farmhouse brewing and try to explain to people how to brew it.
Excellent. Well, welcome to Quebec. I know it's not your first time in Canada, but welcome back. Welcome back. And today we're talking because you're doing a conference today here at Green Dead. But before we start talking about the events of that's coming today, I was wondering if you can give me a little bit about your pedigree, what you guys do. You tell me about your blog, about your books, stuff like that. And also, of course, Norway. How's Norway, the microbrewery, you know, out there?
Yeah, so I was just an ordinary beer enthusiast about 12 years ago. Like many other people, I was, you know, I enjoyed trying different beers, seeing what they were like, what was the beer like in this country and that country. And that was when I discovered that in Europe, there are people who have been brewing on the farms. And they have been brewing beers that are completely different from the kind of beer that you can buy. And the reason is that they don't know anything about modern brewing. They have been brewing the way they learned from their father or learned from their grandfather. And I got obsessed, I think it's fair to say, with this.
Obsessed? That's good.
Yeah. I really wanted to know, where does this exist? What are the differences? How do they brew in Lithuania? How do they brew in Norway? How do they brew in Sweden? What are the flavors? And so I wrote about this on my blog. I did a lot of expeditions. Like, we traveled through Norway for 1 week. I traveled through Russia, Lithuania, Finland, and so on. And eventually I accumulated so much material that a blog wasn't enough. So I wrote, I've written 4 books now on different sides of this, trying to explain to people, where does this come from? You know, what is it? Why is it interesting? And also telling the stories, because there's lots of great stories around this. So that's become a kind of career. I started as a hobby and now it's what I do.
It's like a full-time job right now.
Yeah, it is.
Because I know you used to work before with computers, stuff like that. And
yeah,
now
that's
it's
right.
A full-time job now.
Yeah, it's a full-time job, yeah.
So now, with the traveling that you guys done, that you do across Europe, like Russia, Lithuania, and stuff like that, can you tell us, is there like a difference in how people would do farmhousing breweries? How different is it? I'm sure this method is different, but how different is it across your traveling?
Oh, I see, like the differences within farmhouse brewing, yeah. So the differences are actually enormous. So people will brew from rye in one place, barley another. In Russia and Lithuania, a lot of people use huge brick ovens to produce the beer.
Okay.
Something that is completely unknown further west. A lot of people make their own malts, and they have completely different ways of doing that. Some people boil the wort for the beer, some people don't. There's differences in what sort of yeast they... the enormous differences, really. It's just, you could... I have a whole book that's really just about the differences between inside Norwegian farmhouse ale.
So why do you think there's a difference? Is it because of the barley and the hops and all that stuff like that? Or is it because it's the way they learn how to do that kind of beer?
It's both. So which grain that they brew from depends on what grows live, right? But the method that they use from brewing, that's developed separately in each village, right? And some places they went in one direction, other places they just went in a different direction. So the reason the West doesn't have oven-based beer is they don't have the same type of oven, for example.
With your books that you've written right now because of farmhouses and stuff like that, have you seen more interest for people to get into that kind of beer, to more taste that kind of beer, to try that kind of beer?
Yes, there is definitely interest. The big problem is that, you know, in North America, if you want to try this sort of beer, well, you're out of luck. It's not going to happen. You may be able to find a home brewer who's tried to make this type of beer, or a commercial brewer who's done the same, but almost always, these are people who are brewing something they never tasted. So it's like, nobody in your country has ever eaten pizza. And now comes this guy who says he's made pizza because he's read it in a book, right?
Yeah.
So it's very difficult. But yes, the interest is absolutely there. Yeah.
Have you tried any beer here in Canada, in the US, stuff like that, North America? Have you tried any farmhouse beer?
Before I came here, I was in Toronto.
Okay.
Escarpment Labs and the Burdock Brewery put together this event. So there they had brewed two unboiled beers a la Lithuania with Lithuanian yeast. And one of the brewers at Burdock had kindly taken the job of baking his mash in the oven so that people could try that type of beer. So there are people who've tried it, yeah.
For you, what is the best method? I know it's a shitty question, you know, but what is the best method you think for doing a farmhouse if somebody wants to try it? Say buying, you know, like you need land, stuff like that.
Yeah.
What is the best method you've seen of people who want to try doing that kind of beer?
Well, I think all of them produce good beer. So what's the best method is perhaps what's the easiest for a brewer to do. And that would probably be what I'm going to talk about tonight, which is to brew a raw ale where you skip the boil.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can you tell us about the, now that we're here, can you tell us about the conference? You know, there's a lot of people coming, so I don't want to put pressure on you.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need a beer. And I was wondering, so what are we going to talk about during the conference?
So the talk is really about this subtype of beer, which is raw ale, where you don't boil the wort. So I start with how I discovered it. We get to meet a brewer who makes this type of beer, see how he does it. Then we talk about why does this work? Because the brewing textbooks say that it shouldn't work, but it does. So we have to explain that. But then we get into why are people brewing this way? What is the historical reason? And then a little bit about if you're a brewer, how can you use this method in your own brewing?
So can you give us like a? This is gonna be published in 2 weeks.
Yeah, no
so
worries.
You can tell me why do you think it's bad? Why do people use that method?
Well, ultimately, in everything in farmhouse brewing, if you ask somebody why do you do this, the answer is because grandpa did. that's always the answer. But in this case, the reason is very simple. Historically, metal was extremely expensive, so people were brewing beer and they didn't have metal kettles. And you can't put a wooden vessel on the fire, right? So ultimately, that's the reason.
Simple so, like that, right?
Yeah, so boiling the wort is something new that started quite recently, actually. Although we've now forgotten that, and we think it's the only way to brew.
So tell me, you're from Norway. We have tons of beer coming from there. I've had the chance to drink a little beer from you. I've never drank any beer from farmhouse from Norway. But tell me, is there a way, there's a different way of the beer? How does it taste? What's the training of coming there? What's the industry up there?
Well, the industry in Norway, I guess, looks a lot like, not like Quebec, I would say, because you're ahead of mostly everybody else, but perhaps like Ontario.
Okay.
So a lot of hazy IPAs, a lot of pastry stouts, fruity sour beers and so on. And
smoothies, all that stuff.
All that stuff, yeah. So, yeah, I guess we have the same problem.
Are you guys getting into more lagers like here? People slowly, yeah, you guys do.
No,
are you guys
really
discovering more and more the farmhouses? Because that's what we get here in Quebec. People are like, slowly, there's a lot of IPAs, but people slowly are going to lagers. People are like discovering farmhouses. Here we have one that's like, is this called Schoen? We've been doing it for 20 years pretty much.
Right.
So people are discovering that. Is Norway now, I mean, I used to live in the Netherlands, so, you know, pretty much
decided.
So kind of like the mix of what's happening on there. Is there like a new industry on there? Are new trends, people come and try to new beer?
I think, to be perfectly honest, I think what we are going through is what you would consider old trends. You're ahead of us, and my hope is that we will soon do what you just said and get into lagers and farmhouse ales. That would be really nice from my point of view.
So if I want to go to Norway and I want to go to a farmhouse, give me 2-3 farmhouse that I need to go there and tell me why, the reason why we should go there.
Okay, so the first thing to understand is that a real farmhouse brewer is not a commercial brewer. He's a home brewer, really. But some of them have started businesses where you can visit them, you can brew with them, you can try their beer and so on. So there is one guy called Kjetil Dahle who has old, very old, traditional brew house in Voss. You can take the train there from Oslo. He'll pick you up at the station. You can go through the whole process and see the brewing with, you know, fire and yeast that was inherited from the neighbors and all that stuff.
Okay. Yeah. And two more?
Well, I can only give you one because there is only one more.
But so for your traveling in Lithuania, Russia, whatever, you have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If we go outside of Norway, then the trouble is a lot of these people don't speak any English, so visiting them is really hard. But there is a brewer in Finland called Hollolan Hirvi. He brews with hot stones. So he heats the mash with hot stones that he drops with steel tongs into it. He has this fantastic barn that's 200 years old, that's the bar. And he has his side business is he runs a sauna where you can, so you can go there, relax in the sauna, get really steamed up.
And beer.
Have a shower and then, have a beer in the sauna and then go eat with the...
Best way to do it, man.
Uh-huh, yeah, it's fantastic.
And third one, your travel?
Third one? Ooh, gonna be hard. What would I pick? I think I would pick maybe the other guy in Norway then, which is close to Ålesund. It's similar to the first guy that I was talking about, old brew house. In this case, the yeast that he is using, he inherited from his grandfather. It's been in the family forever. And unlike the guy in the south, the thing that sort of defines his beer is that he boils for 6 hours, so you get this caramel flavor. This guy in the north doesn't boil.
Okay.
So it's a completely different experience, it's a completely different type of beer.
On your blog, what do you write on your blog? Besides, is it like pretty much like a history, pretty much a walk through of that where you travel? Or what is it? Is it more technical? What do you write in your blog?
It's a mix of all of these things. So a lot of it is stories of meeting individual brewers and explaining how they brew, what the area is like, why is it like this, travel stories in a way. Quite a bit of it is also history. And I also write a good bit on microbiology, because a lot of these brewers have yeast that they inherited, which is completely different from modern yeast. So we've been doing a lot of research to find out where does it come from, how does it relate to normal yeast, how does it work, all of this stuff. So, of course, it's real microbiologists that are doing the research, but I try and explain it to people who are not microbiologists, let's put it that way.
So do you go with microbiologists to places like that to make...
No, I take the yeast back.
Okay, good.
And then I send it to the lab. So when I traveled to Toronto for the talk there, I had with me a plastic bag full of little plastic canisters that I gave to Richard Priest at the Scarpment Labs, and he will analyze it.
So you think there's going to come something out of it soon? Do you want to do a yeast like that?
I have decided that I am not going to sell any yeast.
Okay, good.
Because it gets into all sorts of interest issues, right? But I've tried to support the people who do it. So I sent yeast to Omega Labs in Chicago and to Yeast Bay in San Francisco. This guy's in Toronto and so on and so forth. So they are the ones that sell it, and I'm just a messenger.
You're a good messenger, man.
Thank you.
So tell me, any upcoming book coming soon? Or you guys are thinking about writing?
I wrote a book that is very academic. I mean, it's literally an academic treatise on Norwegian farmhouse ale. It goes through some of the customs, the ways that people brew, what we know about the yeast. And there's also a number of historical mysteries around how did these processes develop to be the way that they are. Things that I really would have liked to talk about today, but it gets too detailed. So that's why I did it in a book. So it gets into archaeological mysteries that I said people brewed with hot stones, right?
Yeah.
The archaeological record doesn't quite fit that. There is a hole.
When people get drunk, man, they try anything, man.
Yeah, but there should be traces. There should be some way to find out what it was.
You know, here in Quebec, they do cider, you know, with apples like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to one of the big cider houses here. You know how they find out about cider? Their family, how they did cider, like cider alcohol?
Uh-huh.
They were drunk 100 years ago. I swear, this is the story. Huh? They were drunk 100 years ago. They forgot an apple, like a barrel full of apple with water. For the whole winter, And uh-huh. two of the guys got drunk, they taste the water, there's alcohol, and that's how they started. Right?
Okay.
So something simple, crazy like that, man.
Hmm, yeah. Apple or cider production was, you know, in the old days, it was actually very difficult. Squeezing enough juice out of an apple that it makes sense to produce alcohol from it, that takes a lot of power. So that's something that only happened very recently. Cider is a modern drink.
Well, that's right. That's how they invented
drunken in Quebec.
But remember, here in Quebec, we do have highball. We have the apple wine. And
yeah.
We have the apple wine, winter apple wine, stuff like that.
And the ice cider, right?
We have ice cider, stuff like that. So we drink in the cold, we drink in the hot, we drink all the time.
Right. Yeah, I heard I should try ice cider, but I haven't had the chance yet.
I tell Thibaut to get you some of that.
Yeah, he will.
So thank you very much for the interview, and hopefully, I think there's going to be a lot of people today.
Yeah, I hope so.
That's why I think you should get a beer.
Yeah, I will.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.